Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for July 16th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by two wonderful guests. First is Alex Kidwell, my good buddy. How are you doing, Alex?
Doing good. I don't know if you can tell if you're watching in the video. I found this obscure Big Brother Canada 3 t-shirt online, and I'm wearing it with pride today. All these ridiculous gears. Throwback to a better time, Taryn.
Is Big Brother Canada 3 really one you'd be proud of wearing?
I just like that I found this thing. I didn't who knew this existed.
I didn't know it existed. I guess if I can have a t-shirt, anyone can have a t-shirt, right?
That's how it there works. You go.
Also joining me today is one of my great friends from the Team Robot and So You Think You Can podcast. It's Jen. How you doing, Jen?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, so glad to have you. Really enjoying all the diverse opinions and people, so excited to have you here. Let's get right into what happened yesterday on the Big Brother 19 live feeds. Certainly not quite as much as yesterday. We had an oversized update yesterday with Liana. I think people appreciated it. They were passing it around like, hey, are you confused? Check this out, because they did a decent job, so I'm happy about that. But yes, yesterday we got a lot more talk of, because they never really settled this idea of, is Mark going to go up as a pawn to replace Jessica? And we got a lot of back and forth about this. He's still not comfortable doing this. And now after what happened last night, or the night prior, where Paul and Dominique had this big blowout, he's like, okay, I absolutely am going to vote Dominique out. I promise you don't need to put me up as a pawn. Jen, do you feel like Mark was doing a good job here?
I mean, I think he tried. I still think that they're kind of skeptical on whether or not he'll actually vote her out. Because I know that Jason still doesn't know what he's going to do after he, at some point yesterday, I think, went to go talk to Mark and was like, oh, yeah, I won't use the POV if you're going up. Like, I won't use it. And then he's still debating. So I don't know if his argument's really sticking that well or not, but he's trying, I guess.
Yeah, it's been going. I have it in my notes here. The way we're going to, it's just gone in circles. It's been like, all right. So Alex talks to Mark and Mark convinces Alex to not put him on the block. Then she goes to Jason, who convinces her, okay, maybe we should put Raven. Then she goes to Paul, who says, no, we should definitely put up Mark. Then she goes to Mark, who convinces her not to put up Mark. Maybe we shouldn't put up anyone. And then so she talks to Jason, he's like, okay, maybe we won't put up anyone. And then Jason talks to Paul, and Paul tells Jason, no, we should definitely put up Mark. And then Jason goes to Alex and Paul, and they go, yes, we should put up Mark. And then they go to Mark, and he says, no, we probably shouldn't put me up. And that was basically yesterday in a nutshell.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Jason in particular, I think he really has been pushing Raven to go on the block. Mm-hmm. Alex, do you feel like Jason is pushing too hard here?
Maybe, but Jason holds the veto, you know, like he has some say in what happens here. Like Alex seems to want to railroad him pretty hard. And, you know, God love her. She doesn't have the best read on people in there. Like she's really not that, like Jason Whistlenut has a better read on what's really going on. And she has much more dialogue. Like people open up to her about strategy much more. So it's kind of bizarre to me that he seems to have a better read most of the time. It's interesting too, because she's, you know, she makes a mistake of like saying stuff to Mark, like, well, I trust you, but Jason doesn't want, it's like, no, Jason is the one clearly pushing to not put Mark on the block. So Mark's like, all right, well, I'll go talk to Jason. And then when Mark talks to Jason, there's like a huge disconnect there because Jason doesn't want to put Mark on the block. So Alex saying something like that really isn't like, it's just kind of spinning the wheels.
Yeah, this especially then like the way that Alex treats Jason, just like, listen, just shut up.
It's got one of those kid leashes, and she's just got a whistle nut. Like, yeah,
yeah. Mark is definitely helped out by the fact that he does have this good relationship with Jason. Jason is basically saying if Raven isn't the one to go up, he doesn't want to use the veto at all. And Alex is saying, either the veto is not going to be used or it will be used and Mark will go up. So ultimately, there's been a lot of back and forth. Paul did convince Jason at one point that they do need to put Mark up, but he doesn't want that to happen. So there's still just a lot of talk going on and no one's entirely sure where that's going to land quite yet. But there was some other stuff that was happening. Mark does eventually throw Kevin under the bus again, telling Alex, no, Mark was the vote to evict Jillian. Ramses was not this vote. Alex, is this looking good for Kevin right now?
It's not. I mean, it's not good. I think Kevin is, you know, falling further and further, like closer and closer to the list of potential names to come up, which is crazy because him and Alex like should be, he should be good on Alex's week. But yeah, I mean, it does keep coming up, like this idea that he's someone who's thrown out these votes. And I mean, he hasn't really been like pinned down on it yet. He hasn't been confronted in any kind of like major way, but these conversations are now happening where they're, someone's like, I'm pretty sure Kevin's just like a mob boss and he's just stirring the pot. And like, these aren't the kinds of things that like it was really good when people didn't think Kevin had any idea what was going on. I think the closer and closer people get to this idea that maybe Kevin is like stirring the pot or doing things like that's like what could actually derail Kevin's game, because he's in a really good spot otherwise.
Yeah. Jen, how do you feel about how Kevin's been playing all of this?
I think he's been doing well, besides the fact that people are catching on to it. And I think it's good that he has Paul kind of going to bat for him at all times, because I know Alex went to Paul yesterday saying that she's 100% sure that it's Kevin. And Paul's like, oh, he wouldn't do that to me. Like, no, he wouldn't do that. And then Alex is like, well, yeah, but he'll still be on my radar. But I love Kevin. It's like, okay, so he kind of has Paul at his front for him, which I think is a huge benefit to him. Otherwise, things could be going way worse, way quicker than they have been for him. So I think he's doing all right for now. And if Paul can continue to kind of push the blame on someone else.
Yeah, I mean, Paul being in his corner has been very helpful. Mm-hmm. You're right. Alex did go to Paul and say, look, I think Paul is the one, or I think Kevin is the one betraying us. She had previously talked to Jason about it and said, maybe we need to take him out soon. We need to start targeting him. But Paul was very adamant, like, no. He was definitely not the vote for Ramses. Don't worry about that. We can trust Kevin. And Alex did back off a bit. She's definitely still skeptical, though. She definitely feels betrayed by Kevin. But I think there's this idea that you can't confront Kevin. He's just this lovable old man. And then especially when you have the most trusted person in the house right now, Paul, backing him up all the time, it's like, well, we definitely can't make a move against him then. And this is, again, this is dangerous territory for Alex to be in the midst of being like, I can't trust Kevin, but also I'm not going to go after him. You never want to have a half measure here. You either want to be fully on board with Kevin or be like, no, we got to get rid of him. Right, Alex?
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of, you know, I had a tweet the other night about like, where are all these people that were telling me Alex was a good player last week? I'm not hearing from them right now. And I did hear from some of them. Inevitably, most of them had pictures of Alex as their profile pictures, so that kind of tells you where their heads are at. But I think, like, you know, it is interesting because a lot of people's argument right now is like, well, Alex is doing a good job because she's not like making any enemies with this HOH. And like, yeah, there's an element to that, right? Sure. But is she establishing anything tangible that can be like carried forward besides just like vagaries? You know what I mean? And that's my issue. It's like, what's really this HOH accomplishing that's incorporating you into something larger in the house? And I don't really see it. I think everyone's as loyal to her as they need to be right now, given that she's HOH. I think the people that are really loyal to her are the ones that were loyal to her before she won. And I think it's, a lot of things might work out for her this week. It's not really going to be through her own doing. It's going to be through, you know, her acquiescing to Paul, taking over her HOH in a lot of ways. But it's, you know, she probably is, you know, not going to feel like the ramifications of this HOH right away. So it's not like a horrible HOH. I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting conversation to have, I think.
Yeah, I definitely don't think she should have won HOH in the first place.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I do think that she is going to come away from this relatively unscathed, given the fact that she really shouldn't have won in the first place. I think that Paul is really just taken over, and allowing Paul to take over is probably what her best move was, despite the fact that she doesn't have the right read on things, and she is definitely trusting Paul way too much. She's saying some of the right things in terms of, you know, when that argument happens two nights ago, it's like, oh, well, I'm glad that that happened in front of us. They're totally breaking apart. This is exactly what I want. And now we get Paul, right? Now Paul is on our side, and Paul will help us through this. Like, no, that's not what you should be doing. You should be thinking, oh, Paul is, their alliance is breaking up, and Paul is, you know, on the outs of that as well. And we should be taking advantage of all of it, not just trying to use Paul. Jen, do you feel like Alex is doing well here?
I mean, I think in the sense that she's going after someone that isn't really going to shake up the house too terribly much, but I agree that she needs to, you know, see more of what's going on rather than just being so attached to Paul at all times and letting him kind of dictate her brain. So yeah. I feel like that's kind of what's happened this week, which is fine, but kind of going forward, she needs to kind of get herself away from him and kind of think more on her own than the whole groupthink situation that's been happening so far this season.
Yeah,
well, I think she gets into dangerous territory when she starts to assume that Paul's being real with her all the time, because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're HOH, like, you know, you would expect people to be bringing you this kind of information. But if she's moving forward, operating with the idea that this is going to be how it is, I mean, I know there wasn't a lot of game talk yesterday, but one thing that came up is Kevin, you know, we had talked about maybe Kevin's distrusting Paul. Kevin said multiple times that his ideal Final Four now, him, Alex, Jason, and Paul, he really wants that long term. If Kevin wants that long term, like, I think Paul's safe from that group for a while. And it's dangerous for them to trust him because he has options. They don't have options.
Yeah, they see his position in the house. They see that everybody trusts him, and yet they still think, well, we can trust him. He's really with us. And I said it yesterday. I think I got to say it again. Like, it's very impressive what Paul has managed to do here. I think that obviously being immune is a huge advantage. Being the only vet in the house is a huge advantage. But it's still very impressive what he's managed to do. And if he continues to do it, we need to start talking about him as a very good player of this game. And I mean, it seems like there's no signs of it stopping. Ramses is the only one still that's really saying anything negative toward Paul, although now Dominique certainly is, but nobody believes either of Dominique or Ramses because they've been completely discredited by Paul. So Brandon in the chat, props to Paul for playing everyone. Yeah, it's impressive stuff. But we've also got another, wild card in the house. Josh is getting a little antsy. Josh has just been, I said yesterday, he's been kind of gravitating toward the outsiders. And now he was talking to Dominique yesterday. He was saying, look, you have the opportunity to open people's minds. He wants her to shatter that showman's alliance. He's like, because he still thinks that that's a huge thing and that, you know, that they're going to be working together for sure, which they probably are. But he's like, you need to tell people specifics. You need to tell, like, you can shatter this whole thing, not realizing that the specifics she would be telling would be going against Paul and not the rest of them. But still, she refuses to give any specifics. She's still talking in generalities. And I think Dominique at this point has been completely neutralized. It's hard to imagine her being able to do any real damage, right, Jen?
Yeah. I feel like she's isolated herself so much yesterday too, as well. Like, last night they were all outside playing pool and like watching each other play pool, and she was inside by herself becoming Audrey 2.0. So it's like, I feel like she's put herself in a situation without like being able to tell anyone the specifics of the incidents that have happened or whatever else she's refusing to do. For no good reason. I mean, she's in this position. I mean, there's no real way for her to get out of the position, but like isolating herself isn't really helping that much either. So I don't know. She put herself in such a horrible position.
Yeah, this is like a chicken or the egg type of thing that we see in Big mm-hmm. Brother all the time. And like Elena and Jessica were talking about it a lot this weekend, which is like, did you isolate yourself or did we shun you? You know what I mean? Like, what really happened here? And I think a lot of times it's a psychological trick where it's like you go on the block, you think the house is against you, so you think they're shunning you, but really you're isolating yourself a bit more, I think, than you want to admit. I think a lot more of like what Jessica and Cody was doing was them choosing to be alone up in the HOH rather than integrating with the group. And I think we're seeing that some from Dominique here too. And yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. I think, you know, and then also Dominique, like, she's like seemingly like choosing not to eat, and she's like in the room praying. Like some people, like it's a little reminiscent of like Coach from Token Teens. Like, you know, is this the monastic approach or the martyr approach? Like, what's really going on here? But it's not good. I mean, nothing she's doing right now is going to save her. I mean, including talking to the cameras and asking America from Temptation. That's not getting you anywhere. This is not how you save yourself in Big Brother. Go out and get some votes.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting contrast here. between Dominique and Kevin, because they both were in a tricky situation this week. Obviously, Kevin to a much lesser extent, so the comparison isn't quite accurate. But basically, when Dominique feels like people are starting to throw her under the bus, that she's starting to be betrayed, she starts interrogating people. She starts saying, there's a snake in the house. There's a tempter. There's an infiltrator. We need to find this person. Is it you? It's probably you. She's going after people. When Kevin finds out, because Kevin found out yesterday that Mark in fact is the one is telling people that he voted Jillian out, this is kind of throwing him under the bus. When Kevin finds that out, Kevin says, oh, I need to go up to Mark and tell him how much I trust him. He goes up to Mark and he says, oh man, I heard that you had my back up there. Really, really glad that you did. I've got your back too, just so you know. And Mark, who threw Kevin under the bus, is like, oh yeah, of course, totally have your back. It totally disarms people and it makes them question their decision to throw you under the bus in the first place. It's this sort of the Austin effect from Big Brother 17, where Vanessa was about to throw him out and then he was just so pathetic and so loyal that she was like, well, wow, am I really gonna take him out? Probably. I guess I'll change my mind. If you go after someone, I know that's your instinctual, you know, like response, like you're angry, you want to figure this out. You wronged me and I need to pay you back for that. Like I need to get you. I need to prove that you wronged me and then I'll be right. But being right isn't what matters. Having their loyalty is what matters. So if you go up to them and say, if you make them feel good and make them feel like it was a mistake for them to go against you in the first place, that's the spot you need to be in. And I'm really happy to see Kevin recognize that. I think Kevin has some really great instincts for this game. Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it comes back to this idea that he's a stay-at-home dad of seven kids. I think Kevin is really like finding his groove in this house. I think he like he's at home amidst all the chaos that like is breaking other people. Like he had a line, I think it was yesterday, where he was just like by himself and he said something about like, can I just like live here forever? Like he's at peace in the Big Brother house, which is like, that can't be understated, I think. Like, that environment just in and of itself is, like, so much for some people that they're making terrible decisions and not thinking straight. And, like, you know, you guys touched on it. I'm not sure if it was you and Brent or you and Liana or both in the last couple of days. But this idea that, like, and I know Rob's talked about it, too. It's like, why is Paul just doing so much in the way of strategy? Like, the precedent for this season now is like elaborate, silly backdoor. You know what I mean? Why did we set that precedent? What were you thinking setting that precedent? That precedent is not good for you. But somehow, you know, with Kevin, it's just like everything just seems natural. Like this is not out of place for him, seemingly.
Yeah. And from Kevin's point of view, if you're trying to get an insight on Kevin's strategy, I believe he was telling the truth to Jason last night. He told Jason, look, I want to go to Final Five with you, Mark, Paul, and Alex. Then we'll take out Mark. Everything will be good. We don't need to take out Christmas or Jessica anytime soon. They're not threats. Basically, anyone else is fair game. Matt, in particular, is big on his hit list. He wants to take a shot at those showmances. So that's where Kevin is coming from, and I feel like that's a pretty good spot for him. Although I do think he needs to recognize that Alex and Jason don't trust him quite as much as he might think that they do. Alex has some dogs in the background. He got his dogs.
Yeah, I did. That happened.
Yeah. All right.
I've made it to LA.
I'm excited for Alex. He's been waiting for his dogs for a long time. Dog update for Alex. He finally has
Thanks.
Them. Jen, well, how do you feel about Kevin's plan here? Do you feel like this is a solid strategy for him?
I do. I feel like the showmances will start to be broken up, whether it's by him or Jason or Alex or whoever it may be. They're going to start being broken up because sooner rather than later, they're going to be really the only kind of big target alliance left. So I feel like he has a pretty decent strategy. However, the four of them or five of them making it to Final Five seems very unlikely, considering people kind of already see Jason, Alex, and Kevin as like a mini alliance, like the Outsiders alliance. So obviously when the other side wins power, they're going to go after those three or one of those three. Like, it's seemingly unrealistic, but I feel like Kevin does have the right mindset of who to go after and who to work with and stuff like that.
Yes, when the other side wins power, not right. If. Like, that's the problem. Everyone always makes these plans like, all right, well, we're going to win and then we're going to win and then we're going to win. It's like, all right, what if you don't?
Yeah.
Can we plan for that now? Like, the obvious, inevitable plan B contingency? When do we get to that part?
Right.
And that's really, I think Paul has such an advantage here because he recognizes, Paul is the only one in that house thinking in terms of, I'm setting up targets on both sides of the house based on every contingency. He does have a set schedule of like who he wants to leave, but he also recognizes that he's also making sure that he has targets on both sides just in case. And no, you know, it's hard to think of that when you're in the house for the first time, especially if you're not even a fan of the show. It's difficult stuff. But can we talk about Pillowgate a little bit? The have-nots were Josh, Mark, Ramses, and Jason. Josh picks the wrong temptation box thing and becomes a have-not for 2 weeks, and got into an argument with Mark about some pillows. Alex, do you know about this?
Yeah, it was like Paul was pranking him, basically, like, which, you know, it's funny. Like, it's one of these things that I think you do when you have too much control in the house. Like, Paul coming into this game wouldn't be pulling pranks on people because he's cognizant of the fact he's like a vet in a house of new people. But Paul now that he's like established control over this thing, now that he could just like, you know, have a good time and laugh it up and like, let's all pull a prank on Josh. And like, I mean, you know, everyone is laughing about it and Josh isn't like outwardly mad about it, but Josh is a sensitive soul, man. Like, this is playing with fire if Josh is going to be the target of your jokes, especially when like Josh is just pulling the key and getting an extra week of slop, and the prank is coming from Paul, who got to pull a key and get off of slop. It's like that, you know, playing with fire. Really, really got to be careful, I think, when you're just like messing with people in the house. It could have game ramifications at a point.
Yeah, you know, Josh is a sensitive soul, and Cassie points out in the chat, Mark is also a sensitive soul. So the two of them arguing is just ridiculous because Josh is just like, not today. You do not mess with me today. And then Mark is like getting upset and he's like, Mark, don't you get emotional at me. And Mark is like, I get emotional at you. Like, these are like the two most emotionally combative people in the house. So yeah, it's an interesting fight there. Ultimately, Josh is also somebody who wants to take a shot at Matt. It seems like Matt is a big target for anyone that wants to go after these showmances. Somebody in the chat asked, I forget who it was, I'm sorry. Somebody was asking earlier, why Matt? All he does is just eat cereal.
He's just eating cereal.
I mean, yeah, honestly. Right.
It's process of elimination, right? It's like Mark looks pathetic and kind of spent. Like, he had Dominique. If Dominique goes, like, that's kind of cutting out a leg of Mark's. Cody's gone. And those three guys seemed like that. Yeah, they had like created like a alpha trifecta, whatever, like right when they kind of came in, and it seems like everyone was kind of cognizant of that. And Cody was HOH for so long that it probably did establish, I mean, it was HOH for like 16 days. It probably did establish that like the three of those guys were a contingent to be feared, and probably like people started to see them in some kind of context. So, I mean, you get rid of Cody, you know, you chop down Mark. Now Matt is kind of standing out like a bit of a sore thumb. And I think it's not surprising to see people start to look around and be like, all right, the showmances, like that's the natural thought. And then who's strong on the showmances? And then you look and it's like, oh, well, yeah, Matt almost kind of by default now, huh?
Yeah, I'm seeing two theories in the chat. One is coming from Rob Sesternino, who says, more cereal for everyone else if Matt leaves.
Some cereal for everyone else. Any cereal.
And then also from Nikki, he doesn't have any emotional relationships with anyone but Raven and Elaine. I feel like it's probably a combination of these two things. Maybe the cereal a little bit more, but this is definitely an aspect. If people had better emotional relationships, they'd care more about the fact that Matt needs his cereal.
Yeah, he's super agreeable, right? Like, he's very good at getting along. I mean, it's just kind of being like the kind of roommate that's not gonna, like, you're not gonna have an issue with. Like, you might find this roommate on Craigslist and you'd probably be pleasantly surprised. You know what I mean? Cause you're not having like any big red flag type of issues. And that's good in Big Brother. Like, people are saying like, Matt's terrible at this game cause I'm not seeing him do anything. Like, you can only lose the game in the first month. That's not a reason why he's terrible. If you want to like call him terrible and say he's playing a bad game, talk about how he's isolating himself with Raven and like keeping, you know, not establishing relationships the other place in the house. Cause that's going to be what ultimately undoes his game, if anything, is that like someone's going to win HOH and they're going to have relationships with people. Matt's not going to be one of them. And here he is, like a pretty physical looking guy that, you know, why shouldn't I target him? So that's like, really, if you want to nitpick at Matt's game, don't say he's invisible. I mean, say that he like really needs to work harder at establishing some of these social relationships, because it seems like when he tries, he's capable of it, too. That's the irritating thing.
Yeah, he's definitely not in a great spot here. There are people like Dominique, who has also not really formed any relationships outside, who had previously not formed any relationships outside of Mark and even potentially Elena and Paul. Matt is very similar in that way. He really just focuses on his own group, and that's why he's such a target. That's why Dominique was such a target. And it's why Mark, even though he is very emotional and not great at the game, is in a better spot. Because he has relationships with the other side. He does talk to other people. And that's why Jason doesn't want him going up on the block as a pawn. If he can help it, he'd prefer Raven do it, because Raven is another person who doesn't really form a whole lot of relationships with other people outside of her group. We also have a little bit more information on the Christmas situation. At least we had I saw Robin Cass tweeted that I don't know why she knows this or if she actually knows this, but Robin Cass tweeted that Christmas definitely did not overhear anything, that she's just playing the house or something along those lines. Jen, do you feel like this is the truth, or is the spin, or is she just telling us an opinion?
I feel like it has to be an opinion, because there's no way Christmas would know, like, oh, who voted second or who voted third or whatever. Like, that's way too specific for her to just make up and, like, lie about it for no good reason at all. Like, I feel like Robin's just trying to, like, cover up maybe a little bit that something might have happened. I don't know. But there's no way that Christmas didn't actually hear it if she's just making it up.
Yeah, I've seen nothing else from Christmas to indicate she's like an Andy Kaufman level genius. And that's what would be required to come up with a lie like this. I'm sorry, yeah. Robin Cass, but like, don't pee on my head and tell me it's raining, please. Can we just not do that? Like, I understand you lie or whatever. You've got your like corporate rhetoric, but like, no one's buying this for a second, man. Come on.
Yeah, especially like Christmas is all drugged up. Like, clearly she's not just going to like manifest this out of nowhere. Like, it had to have happened. Like, there's a reason why she remembered it. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing for me is that it does seem very specific to be like, well, who was the second vote, because I was the third, and I know that I was the how would she know she was the third vote? She called in. Okay. So it's kind of damning. I think it's hard to imagine what she could have heard that would not be this kind of information. I'm open to other possible explanations, but I haven't heard any. So
you won't.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
All right. So that's basically it. We did see Jessica. She is starting to socialize more. Without Cody in the house to hold her back, and without being the main target of the house, we're seeing a huge contrast between her and Dominique right now. She has definitely been socializing more. We even got to the point where people like Mark and Elena are saying, we don't want to put Jessica up on the block next week, even though we probably will. It's not something we want to do anymore, which is, again, a huge, huge contrast from last week, where she was a complete pariah and wasn't talked to anyone and was like sick the entire week. We're definitely seeing the comeback that we saw for Jessica with Cody gone. However, with a battle back in the works, we could see that all go back in the other direction. Brent did compare her to Lisa Donahue. She probably needs to pull a Lisa Donahue, and if she has the option, prevent Cody from coming back into the game, because I feel like that's probably best for her game, right, Jen?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that if Cody comes back, it'll go back to those two being in a room by themselves, shoving each other's tongues down their throat. Like, you need to cut the ties there. And if you really are there to play the game, like she claimed she was during all of her preseason interviews, she needs to make the right decision. And I think that without Cody in the house this week, she's starting to see the potential that she could have. At least I'm hoping she can see it, where if she's faced with the option of having him come back or not, that she chooses to not have him come back.
Yeah.
But
I think the Lisa Donahue comparison is interesting. The one I keep going back to is Erin Grease, because, I mean, here's someone that lost her showmance in week one and was able to reintegrate. And you guys were talking on Friday, like, she should definitely throw and lay low. But it's interesting. You know, it can go either way, because we saw Erin not throw. I mean, she started winning and was able to get people to want to work with her that way. They wanted to weaponize her the way they did Alyssa. Like, oh, if Erin's going to keep winning all these things, we might as well work with her. So then they were incorporating her in. So it'd be interesting to see if, like, Jessica were to win HOH next week or the week after, would that then be the time that kind of allows her to create something tangible she can move forward in this game with? I mean, maybe her win equity is kind of shot, but I mean, she can certainly, like, do damage in this thing and make a deep run, I think, with her showman's gone. But yeah, like, you know, what would have happened if David Gurton wins a battle back and comes back in Big Brother 15? Like, it's clearly a different thing. So.
Yeah, and we're also seeing Ramsey's really working hard to cultivate a relationship with Jessica. I think he sees the value in using her, and he's really the only one that's doing that. She is trying to reach out to Alex, but Alex keeps pushing her away. She's also tried to reach out to Jason, who is much more amenable, but Alex keeps holding him back from having a relationship with her. So it's really just opened the doors wide open for Ramsey's to swoop in and try to start something with her. And again, if I feel like Ramsey's is such a dangerous player to just let him run around like free of being targeted, you never let those super fans in the door, because they're so dangerous. They know what they need to be doing, even if they're not quite capable of doing it. They're going to keep trying until something works, and then they are very dangerous in those late stage competitions. So you got to watch out for Ramsey's, right, Jen?
Yeah, I definitely agree. He's someone who I feel like is kind of flying under some people's radar. I know Paul's very adamant about wanting to get him out, but I feel like everyone else just like, oh, it's just Ramsey's. Like, he's fine. We'll get him later. But like you said, once he hits a certain point, it's going to be very difficult to get him out, especially with the endgame comps and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, they were going to get Dan later, too, in season 10. What happened right. to that?
We'll get him later.
Yeah, and Steve,
The corpses of Big Brother. Big Brother's littered with the corpses. That's what I mean to say.
Yeah. All right. I do want to ask one more. This whole thing with Christmas is very controversial. People are still saying they should still pull her from the game. I want to get your take on this, because we haven't heard from you. What do you think about Christmas and her state as far as like being in the game, being pulled from the game, all that?
I heard her yesterday saying that, like, the physical therapy people are going to be coming to her more. And I guess it's okay if she stays in, as long as she doesn't keep leaving the house. Like, as long as she's in the DR or whatever the situation is, as long as she's there more than she's gone, I guess it's okay. But I can't see her making it that far anyway, where it would really become that big of an issue. I feel like she's kind of expendable to her alliance. So at some point, they're going to be like, all right, she can leave. Like, if they need to get rid of someone, I feel like it's going to be her, for the reason of her foot and just because she's not really in any of the showmances or anything like that. So I think it's okay for now, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like, one thing that people have pointed out is that she's probably ineligible to compete in either of part one or part two of the final right. HOH. So if they bring her to final three, it's basically a guarantee that you are one of the two people fighting for, which granted is true of bringing somebody like Jerry to the final three.
Yes and no. Jerry's looking at Christmas like now, like, oh, what a layup.
Oh, man. But yeah, I feel like the thing with Christmas, I wanted her to be able to stay in the game. I think being out of the house for surgery is fine up until the point where she's getting outside information. And the second she gets outside information, that's when it's like, okay, this is too far. We need to pull the plug on this. If she does have this information, they need to either shut it down with extreme prejudice or just pull her from the game. And that's what I think.
Also, this idea that she's there, when you're just taking painkillers all day, every day, are you anywhere? This is my question.
I don't know, Alex. You tell me.
Well, you know, as someone that had, I mean, I had a pretty major back surgery in high school, and I remember, you know, some of that stuff they give is pretty strong. I mean, it feels like you're in a dream state for some of it. So, you know, who knows what, I mean, it might make for some good TV where she's like promising her vote and doesn't remember it 5 minutes later, but it's an interesting element to this season. It's just right. It's just like this Christmas's foot has just been like a big overarching storyline. Like, that's just going to be a big piece of Big Brother 19. There's no way around it.
Yeah. All right. So that is our update for July 16th. I hope you enjoyed it. This is, we always love doing these morning updates. Everyone was very kind about yesterday's. It was a very complicated day to go through. And so I'm glad that we were helpful. Make sure you check out tonight's recap with Rob. I believe, Alex, you and Brent will be on with Rob.
That's right.
Yes. And it will
on
be
the late night
after the West Coast airing. So it will start at midnight.
Like Eastern? 12:15-ish Eastern, yeah, yes. I would imagine.
Because Rob will be busy doing the Snow It Alls for Game of Thrones, which is very exciting. I'm pumped.
Ooh.
I hope everyone is pumped for Game of Thrones. Yeah. And I'm very pumped for the Snow It Alls. I can't wait to see Rob's like immediate reaction to these episodes. I feel like this is something that everybody needs.
Steven's immediate reaction, though, like, oh my God, Rob! Rob, what just happened?
Yes.
That's what I'm waiting for.
All right. And make sure you check out, we will be live. We are in fact going to do an update for tomorrow, Monday morning. Previously, we haven't been doing these because that's the day of the LFC roundtable, but we decided, you know what? People are enjoying these. People are liking these. And there's a difference between the updates and the roundtable anyway. It's kind of its own thing. So we want to have a continuation, so that, you know, we are able to talk about that previous day on an update podcast. We will be live tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. So make sure you check that out as well. And my podcast is coming up very soon. I hope I can, I'll probably talk about it Monday night on the roundtable. I'll release the name and everything. Very excited about that. So make sure you check that out. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.